Guys, we're going to go to Acts chapter 28 today. The last message in this series, beginning in verse 11. If you want to find that in your Bibles, it will be on the screen, verse 11 through 31. And I'm going to remind us all of where we've been before we read this. Our journey through Acts began with a people waiting for the Spirit of God so that they could take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. That's where this book began. The people were waiting. And then the mission begins to develop as the Spirit is poured out on the people of God. First, poured out on a group of Jews. And these Jews began to scatter out. And then the group becomes increasingly multinational, multilingual, multi-ethnic. And they continue to scatter and to spread. And there's trouble, there's persecution, but still it spreads. And now finally, at the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, we see Paul arriving in Rome, where he is now going to testify to Christ in one of the most influential, powerful cities in his day. And let's pick up in verse 11, and we're going to read 11 to the end of chapter 28. So after 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. That's Castor and Pollux. You would know that as the zodiac sign of Gemini. So Gemini is what they're sailing in under. Paul comes to Italy under Gemini. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. After 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. That's modern-day Puteoli, which is near Naples. Beautiful place. There we found brothers, that would be Christians, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier that guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning until evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So here we go. Paul comes to Rome. This has been the prophetic destiny that he's carried for years. And finally, it's bearing fruit. What God promised him, what it seemed like everything tried to prevent, from religious leaders, mobs, storms, nothing, as we sang, nothing can hinder the plan and the purpose of God. And what God said he would accomplish, what he said he would do, he's doing. And now Paul has come to Rome. And we're going to focus in on three little things that are not little at all. They're giant. But I want you to notice what happens when Paul gets to Rome. The first thing he does after 3 days of settling in is he meets with the Jews. The Jews, that's Paul's own people. Paul is a Jew. And God's mission continues through Paul. It continues to his own people. No matter where he's gone, he's always looked for the Jewish people. It's his people. Guys, this is not an accident. And is there truth here about the Jews in particular? Sure. God hasn't forgotten about the Jewish people just because many have rejected the gospel. But guys, God hasn't forgotten about your people. Who are your people? Are they Spokaneites? If you're from Spokane, are they runners? Are they crafters, dancers, the Irish? My wife is Irish. Is it the Irish? Who are your people? God has not forgotten your people. And his mission continues. When Paul comes to Rome, the mission continues to his own culture and his own people. Those who were similar to him, those who could most easily respond to the gospel. And Paul uses their common ground. He says, it's because of the hope of Israel that I'm in chains. He uses common ground. He couldn't say to most Romans, it's the hope of Israel. They wouldn't know what he meant. But his own people knew what he meant. And he began with common ground to bring the gospel to his own people. So think about it one more time. Who are your people? Now, it might be Americans, it might be Brazilians. Probably are. Maybe English. But it's more than just what nation did you come from. But who are the people that are most similar to you? My daughter Bethany is a runner. She can speak runner language to people. Elizabeth, this year she's not playing basketball. But Elizabeth can speak basketball culture. She can speak basketball terminology. And when she hangs out with basketball players, those are her people. We could go through each person in the room So what is your culture? Who are your people? Joy can go talk to health food people, healthy eater people, and people who are very health conscious in a way I cannot. I eat grease. We flavor it in various ways, but I still eat grease. Who are your people? The mission pattern of God continues in Paul's life. He takes Paul to people who are like him. And Paul looks for those people. Now, he doesn't limit the gospel to those people, but it seems like he begins there every time. Who are the people that I can take the gospel to? Who are the ones that you are most uniquely qualified to speak to? And Paul continues right there. He keeps making connections with his own people. Guys, no matter where God takes you, don't forget about who you are. In really practical ways. Who can you relate to? Joe can relate to bankers. Musicians better. There you go. Musicians. This is why Joe and I get along well. And the pattern continues. As he takes the gospel to his own people, you know what happens? In verse 24, it says this. Some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. This has happened everywhere Paul has gone. Everywhere anyone has gone in the New Testament. Some believe and some disbelieve. Guys, this pattern continues today. Some will believe, some will disbelieve. What do they believe? What is it that Paul is bringing that they can either believe or disbelieve? When he goes to his own people, when he goes to the people who will understand him and get him culturally, what is it that he brings? This is shockingly simple. In verse 23, we back up. What is it that they believed or didn't? It says, from morning until evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus. And then you'll see it again at the end in verse 31. Again, he's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that the people are either believing or rejecting? It's this message of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ as the King of the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God and Jesus. The good news that in this broken world, very messed up world, there's a new king. There's a new way of life. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is moving out and moving and coming to you. Paul is bringing this message of Jesus and his kingdom. Some believe, some don't. So when you go to your people, whoever those people are, the banker musicians who speak Portuguese, whoever those people are, you carry this message, the kingdom of God and Jesus. So when you hang out with your runner friends, your basketball friends, your dancer friends, your lighting design friends, does this message go with you? This is the message you carry. Is it coming with you to your people? Here's the challenge. Guys, there will be some who don't believe. But there will be some who do. God is bringing a message of His kingdom and His salvation, new life, through you to your people. And some will believe. But it doesn't stop there. This is what happens when Paul comes to Rome. He starts with his own people, but he doesn't stop with his own people. Your people are the ones that you can make immediate connection with. But Paul's mission, it continues to the nations. Verse 28. I like this. He says to his own people, "Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, the nations of the world." And then what does it say? They will listen. You hear this? Let this ring in your ears, ring in your hearts. This message, this salvation of God has been sent to the nations. They will listen. This is a prophetic promise. As we come to the very end of the book of Acts and this powerful story, we need to understand something. This isn't actually just Paul's autobiography here or a biography about Paul. If you're thinking, we're coming to the end and we're going to find out, did Paul get acquitted? Did he get to go stand before Caesar and all charges are dismissed? You will leave the end of Acts very dissatisfied because we aren't told what happened. This isn't a biography about Paul. If we go back to the very beginning, I'm going to just jump back to Acts chapter 1 for one moment. It says, in the first book, the very beginning of Acts, in the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And then we begin to learn about the church moving out, a people full of the Spirit of God, carrying on with the mission. And when we come to Acts 28, the very last verses, what we see is it just continues. It just keeps going. And we leave Paul proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. There's no end. It just says, and he kept doing this. The mission continues, you guys. The mission that began actually before the foundations of the world. The mission that was prophesied. Jesus comes. He fulfills His purpose on the earth. He pays for the sins of all who would believe. He rises from the dead, glorified. He ascends to heaven, having told the disciples, wait for the Spirit, and then go to the nations. The Spirit falls, is poured out on the church. They begin to go. The Spirit keeps being poured out on a new people group here, a new group of people here, new nationalities here, and it just keeps spreading. And when we get to the end, we have Paul continuing to proclaim the kingdom. The kingdom. Jesus. Guys, God's mission is still moving forward in our day. It didn't end at the end of Acts 28. It still carries forward, and his mission is always successful. He says, I'm going to read it again in verse 28. This salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, sent to the nations. They will listen. They will listen. His mission will be successful. Guys, when God sends us out from our own people, he sends us out from our Jerusalem. He sends us out to wherever he sends us. We go carrying this promise. When you go to the nations will listen. They will hear. Will some disbelieve? Yes. But some will believe. Now, this is kind of cool. I wrote this down in my notes before this happened, okay? So, James and Lucy went out this morning, and James told me, he said, hey, we realized that just because of our accent, it's just perfect for evangelism. Because people want to know why we're here. And he said, so then all we have to do is tell them. We're here. And they were telling people about our church and where it was. And okay, so this was this morning conversation, right? I wrote this down in my notes on Thursday morning. When God sends us out from our own people to those who are different, we find effectiveness. You might think the opposite. When God sends you to someone who's very different from you, you're like, I have nothing in common with you. How in the world can I bring the gospel? And the reality is, a lot of times when God sends you to someone who's very different, they want to know about you. You are intriguing. You're interesting. And here's what I said about James on Thursday. James's accent is just normal when he's in Northern England. Here, it's intriguing. And you may think he's smart just because he has an English accent. It's very true. Very smart man, right? Very smart man. Okay. And this is what I said about Lucy, right? Lucy's accent is just normal in Brazil. Southern Brazil, right? Right, okay. Lucy's accent is just normal in Brazil, but here, it's exotic. It's exotic. And people want to know, why are you here? When God takes you to those who are different, your uniqueness and what is different about you becomes the very tool in God's hand to advance the gospel. Not just because you are the same and you're like everyone. But let's not fall into this trap either. If you think, I live in the northwest of the United States and my accent sounds like northwest United States. Therefore, I'm just normal. Abnormal. It depends where you're from. I'm just like everyone else, so how do I stand out? Well, guys, maybe it's not your accent. Maybe it's... But the gospel's power is not in your personality or your accent. We use the tools that God has given us. But the power of the gospel is not your personality. And not how well you can communicate it. The power of the gospel is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, for all who believe. Whether you're going to those who are similar to you or those who are different than you, the gospel is the power. Don't let this pressure come on you that it's dependent on your personality and your presentation, how impressive you can be. The gospel is the power, always. Now, what we see here at the very end, in verse 30, it says, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. He welcomed whoever came, whoever would come. And we had a woman contact us last week who really wanted to be here today. And she and her daughter, she said, I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. She said, my daughter has severe anxiety, and it's difficult for her to even leave the house sometimes, a 9-year-old little girl. But she was hoping to be here this morning, and she texted me at about 9:30 and said, I'm so sorry, we really want to come, but having a really bad anxiety attack here at home, and we can't leave the house, but we're going to keep trying because we really want to come. When people are saying we want to connect, there's only one response we need to have. Paul welcomed all who came. All who came. All who came. People are saying, I want to come. I want to connect. I want to be with you. What do? We welcome. We welcome. And this woman actually invited us to come visit her in her home this week. So we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll take the gospel to her too. We won't wait for her to have to get here. Guys, woo. As the nations come, let's welcome. Whoever God brings, let's welcome. Those He brings who are similar to you, welcome them. Those He brings who are very different from you, and you think, I don't even know how I relate to you, welcome them. Let's see what God will do, what we will learn from one another. We welcome them. This is a very simple message, isn't it? There's not a lot to this. Guys, there's power in the gospel. Jesus is going to send you to people who are like you. Some are going to believe, some are going to not believe. And God is going to send you to people who are different than you. And the promise here is, they will listen. Now, some will believe and some will not believe. But God has flung the gates wide open. The gates into this kingdom are wide open to every people group in the world. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue in the world. The kingdom of God and the gates are wide open. The name of Jesus is for everybody. So whoever He brings to you and wherever He sends you, just welcome. Welcome the people. Paul is not a citizen of Rome. I mean, he's a Roman citizen, but he's not from the city of Rome. But he finds himself in Rome, as Jesus promised. And he's welcoming everyone who comes. Wherever God sends you, He sends you there to be a welcomer. You carry the kingdom. You carry the gospel. The gospel is powerful. Don't forget it. We carry this. And remember this. Sometimes in the United States in particular, and around Independence Day, the 4th of July, we can get so excited about the holiday, right? I mean, it's fun. We blow things up. Now that's outlawed. We can't do that, but you know. I grew up blowing things up and it was fun. I always remember the joke from The Simpsons, this Indian shopkeeper, and he was selling fireworks. So he says in his Indian accent, "Celebrate the independence of your nation by blowing up a small piece of it." I grew up doing that, and it was very fun. It was great. But it's about so much more than just celebrating the freedom we have as a citizen of the United States. Paul is welcoming all who come to him while he is under house arrest. He's under house arrest, but he's responsible to pay for his own provision. He lived for 2 years at his own expense under house arrest, welcoming everyone who came. Guys, we bring this freedom of the kingdom and the story of Jesus and the gospel. Wow. Whatever our circumstance is, and however we got, wherever we are, it doesn't matter if the freedom is given you by your nation or the freedom is taken away from you by your nation. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God and a testimony to freedom in Christ. And that testimony is all the more powerful when you're in chains. Our freedom isn't limited to the freedoms we have as citizens of the United States. Although, don't hear what I'm not saying, I'm very grateful for those freedoms. We can... Thanks for letting us go, James. So we come to the end, and it ends rather abruptly. Because it doesn't really end. We keep going. Let's go to that last slide, Gabe. We're going to go through it very quickly because I already said all of this. Jesus is continuing his mission through us. Right? There's a whole group of churches called Acts 29 because the mission didn't end with Acts 28. The mission continues in our day. We could start our own group and call it Acts 30. 29 and a half. Keep going, Gabe. Jesus is continuing his mission through us. Some who are like you will believe. Keep going. Many who are not like you will believe. Finally, keep going. Keep going. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Keep going. As we scatter from this building today, and many of our church family have already scattered for the weekend. We've already scattered. Whether you're camping, whether you're flying this week, returning to Brazil, flying this week, returning to Dubai. Wherever we scatter out, wherever God sends us, these things are true. Jesus is continuing his mission through us. Keep going. Keep going. You carry the mission. You carry the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our Independence Day celebrations, we carry this message: freedom in Christ.